Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is a new year. It's very exciting.
Well, so let's see if we can start this right? Kind of take a look at the winners and losers of 2020 and try to anticipate, if that's even a word that exists anymore, what to expect for 2021. So as always, we have our guests at the start of the month. David Kuo, the co-founder of The Smart Investor and the man tipped to take over Frank Lampard at Chelsea Football Club. After this morning, you know.
I couldn't do any worse than him.
Ryan's rubbing it in right now. But David, we got to do this before we get started. We want to go around the room and talk New Year's resolutions. Is this something we still do? You want to start, Manisha?
Yeah. Look, I love New Year's resolutions. So one of mine is to get fit.
Okay.
Which I started with me going into the gym over the weekend, only it was absolutely packed. We've got social distancing in my gym. Every single machine that was available had someone on it. And I was like, oh dear, everyone's got the same resolution. That's the problem.
Right. You want to get fit. I like that. So kind of like reverse age a bit.
Yeah, I really want to see. I've been reading too many books about reverse aging.
It can be done.
it's something. You guys are younger than me. You don't have to think about this kind of thing. But
you
I'm
didn't
north
climb
of
the
40.
Stairs yesterday. No, actually, for me, and maybe you can join me in this, I want to complain less.
Ooh.
I want to fight that instinct to complain less. And if I can't, right, if I complain, I'll take note of it. And for every complaint, 10 push-ups. So kind 10. Of like can get fit.
Wow. So either going to be very fit or going to complain about getting fit.
No, you check out my guns in about a month. Ryan, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to create more time.
Ah.
And that's going to be by waking up earlier. And for me, it's more practical because I have a young 3-year-old plus kid, right? And it's very tough to have alone time or me time. And the only way to do that is just to wake up much earlier than usual, maybe 2 hours earlier. So this is something I'm trying out to just have more space for myself to do my own thing and just get started on the show prep much earlier. And also now it's getting me started on exploring new coffees as well. So I am starting to discover what's medium roast, dark roast, what's instant coffee. So that is going to be, I guess, 2021 for me. Waking up earlier and finding out new coffees.
Becoming a coffee connoisseur. I like it.
Might take a course in it. Why not? David, what is your New Year's resolution?
Oh, that's a very simple one, Elliot. Not to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning listening to my favourite football team lose 3-1 to the opposition. I think staying up until that early hours of the morning is bad for my complexion, and it's also bad for getting up the next morning for programmes like yourself, for instance. Yeah. So therefore, that is my resolution. Go to bed early and wake up earlier, just like Ryan.
But if they win, it's okay, lah.
No, I don't think winning will actually sort of help the wrinkles on my forehead or my complexion in any way. At my age, I have to look after my complexion.
Wow. Well, on that note, David, and hoping that you've had some sleep somewhere along the way, we would all love to get your take on how the markets were for 2020, how your portfolio did. Were you a winner or a loser?
I was doing okay, simply because I tried to ignore as much of the economic news as possible and just simply focus on finding companies and stock that would do well, regardless of what is going on in the economy. And I think we have to remember that as far as 2020 was concerned, what was really driving the market was the amount of money that was being created by central banks. And they just flooded the global economy with trillions and trillions of dollars that had to go somewhere. So as long as you sort of stayed calm and stayed with whatever your preferred investment was, I think it would have done reasonably well. So that was my lesson for 2020, to ignore all the economic and political noise that goes on around the world.
Yeah, Wilson, you kept echoing that every month when we caught up with you. David, looking at 2021, right? I mean, for me, there are some words that have no meaning anymore. Words like bubble, record high. There's this IPO craze as well. I mean, what can you even make of 2021 right now looking at the situation?
Well, I think, you know, what is going to happen is that we're going to get a continuation of 2020, not in terms of the virus, but certainly in terms of the amount of money that is being created and the amount of money that will continue to swirl around the global economy. what has really happened with the central banks is that they printed this money. And I think the closest analogy that I can get is when you squeeze toothpaste out of a tube. No one, as far as I know, has been able to find a way of putting the toothpaste back in the tube. And we have to remember that after the great financial crisis of 2008, money printing was already going on. And at that time, somewhere in the region of 12 to 15 trillion U.S. dollars was created. And we've done it again. So therefore, there's even more money going around. And I think as a result of that, asset prices will remain elevated. And by asset prices, I'm talking about bond prices. I'm talking about house prices. I'm talking about stock markets as well. I think it'll be remain elevated throughout 2021. So people don't need to worry too much because the central bank ain't going to take that money back.
Yeah, and then there's the question, isn't there? Who's holding all those bonds? Who's holding all that paper? I want to ask you about a different kind of money, and I had massive debates over the Christmas holiday with friends of mine over Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin? Where did it come from? Is it for real? What's your takeaway from the new records?
I think we have to differentiate between cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and Ryan already mentioned Ether. We've got to differentiate between that and blockchain. I mean, blockchain is here to stay. Blockchain is the new technology that is going to be driving much of the transactions that go on across the internet. So that is why people are kind of excited about Bitcoins. But ultimately, is Bitcoin really worth as much as it is at the moment? I think the answer is probably no. But those people who did buy Bitcoin and they have made money, well, I congratulate them. I congratulate them in the same way that I would congratulate anybody that picked the 50-1 winner at Cranji Racecourse in the second race. I mean, I would congratulate them in the same way. But is it an asset class? I think the answer is no, definitely not, because there are only four asset classes that will reward you in terms of paying you for owning them. Cash, bonds, property, and the stock market, shares. And apart from those four, the rest of them are what we would call exotic investments. And I would group together things like Bitcoin, gold, silver, oil. I mean, those are commodity-type investments. And if you know what you're doing, well, that's great. But I think for the majority of us, if you had made money on those cryptocurrencies, it was really luck rather than knowledge.
Okay, David, then based on what we talked about, and pretty obvious which sectors are not going to do well anytime soon, which sectors are question mark. So for 2021, which sectors do you think are going to do well?
Well, I think there's going to be a rotation. I think what really sort of happened in 2020 was anybody who put money into big technology companies, those who put money into big internet retailers, they will have done exceedingly well. Even if you had bought shares in, say, marijuana companies over in America. Those were the ones that did reasonably well. But what got left behind was the big oil companies, the banks, the insurers. I mean, they got kicked into touch. Mm-hmm. And I think what will happen in 2021 is that there's going to be a rotation. There is going to be movement into what we would call value stocks. And I think the banks could actually see a revival. And I think the oil companies could see a revival. And of course, we've also got the real estate investment trusts, or the REITs. I think people will start warming to those sectors again. And that would be quite good for the Straits Times Index, because ultimately, when you look at the STI, we don't have big technology companies in there. We have oil companies, and we certainly don't have big internet retailers like Amazon in the Straits Times Index, but instead of which, you know, we have things like banks. So I think it could be a good year for the STI.
Yeah, it could be a more change, couldn't it, afoot for Singapore. I just want to ask you, though, about one of the other big stories that was a feature of 2020, and this was the big hoo-ha that keeps going on between the United States and China. What's going to be the impact, would you say, of the delisting of Chinese companies on the U.S. stock exchanges?
Well, it has happened. And as Ryan pointed out earlier on, I mean, it's not really just the telecom companies that have been delisted, but there is a threat that maybe some of the oil companies could be delisted as well. And you know, Manisha, I mean, this is something that really worries me, and that is that we know that America has a problem. America is going to have a huge unemployment problem. And when you get problems like that, national governments tend to fall back on three things. The first one is patriotism. The second one is protectionism, and the third one is nationalism. And I think if you have a look around the world, many of the countries, the government, that are embattled in some way, I think what they will do is to fall back on those three things. first of all, start waving the flag and getting people to be more patriotic, and then they're going to be more protectionist, which is really what the delisting of these companies is all about. And, of course, they will also sort of raise the specter of nationalism and say that this is all in the national interest. And I think this is really very dangerous for 2021. And I think America and China need to sit down and they need to talk, and they need to talk like adults rather than children.
We're chatting with David Kuo. He's the co-founder of The Smart Investor, helping us to break down what are the top winners and losers of 2020. And David, looking back at the STI, we are actually looking at markets negative 11.8%, actually down for the year, one of the worst performing indices for Asia. And this is in contrast to the record highs we've been seeing on Wall Street. So looking ahead to 2021, when will it be our turn to shine? Is 2021 going to be the year for the SDI?
I do think it is, Ryan. And I think, you know, for the obvious reason that if you have a look at the SDI, the heavyweights in the SDI are the telecoms and, of course, the banks. And the banks haven't done that well in 2020. So I think if we are going to get some kind of rotation back into the banks, and I'm not just talking about Singapore banks. I'm talking about banks all over the world. I think they have been left on the side, and I think in 2021, people are going to start going back to the banks, especially if, as in the case of the UK, where the regulators in the UK say the banks will be able to, number one, start rewarding shareholders with dividends, and number two, they will be able to buy back their own shares. If they can do those two things, I think it'll be okay. And I think the other thing we need to remember about the banks is that we are coming out of recession. And anyone who has ever run a business, ever, will know that as they go into recession, they start selling whatever stock they have in their shops, in their stores. I mean, they will sell their inventory. Mm. They will also start using up cash. And then when they come out of recession, well, they haven't got any more things to sell. And they've also used up their cash. So they're going to have to go back to the banks and borrow money again. And I think people should have a look at, you know, the lending figures here in Singapore. And I think it will start picking up in 2021. And that is going to be good for the banks, Ryan.
Yeah, and David, looking at some of the top movers in 2020 and in December, we've got CapitaLand Integrated Commercial Trust, last month up 11.3%. So right at the top for the month in terms of the biggest winners. Looking ahead to 2021, is there going to be enough momentum for it to continue going up? Because you've got, you know, the tourism picture still rather cloudy, and REITs, I guess, is still on a bit of a shaky ground when it comes to what's going on with the outlook.
Well, okay, right. There's a couple of things there. I mean, if you have a look at CICT or CapitaLand Integrated Commercial Trust, what is really happening? If you've been in the shopping malls recently, you will see that there is certainly activity going on in the shopping mall. Mm. And that is partly because people haven't been able to go abroad. I don't know about you, Ryan, but I haven't been able to sort of leave the country to go somewhere else, or I don't want to go anywhere else at the moment, so I'm here. So therefore, you know, that airfare and that money that I would have spent overseas, I'm spending back in Singapore. So I think the shopping malls in particular will probably start to do better. And I think some of that subsidies that many of these shopping malls have been providing for their tenants, I think that will be scaled back, which therefore means that they'll have more distribution to pay to unit holders. And the same, I think, goes for the commercial REITs as well. They won't have to sort of subsidize the rents anymore, certainly not to the same extent as they did in 2020. So I think it does look better for the real estate investment trust or the REITs.
And David, looking at the other winners on the December list, you've got the likes of Wilmer up 10.5%, Capital Corporation up 6.1%. Is this a reflection of the cyclicals coming back?
To some extent, but I think if you have a look at, in particular, things like Wilmer, and then if you also have a look at one of the conglomerates that we have, Jardine Matheson, what they've been doing is to buy back their shares. And that is really quite telling because it means that they're making money. You don't buy back shares unless you're actually making money. So many of these companies that people have neglected to some extent, they're saying that, hey, you know what? We're actually doing okay. We're making profits. We're generating cash. And if we think our share price is a bit on the low side, we're going to step in and start buying back our shares, which is driving the share price higher. So I'm not really too concerned about many of the companies. And you mentioned also Keppel Corporation. I mean, that is an interesting one because what they're trying to do now is to go into an asset-light model. And I think the the shareholders or the market really likes that idea of having an asset-like model, which therefore means that the returns for equity, the returns for shareholders will start to improve in 2021 and beyond.
Hey, David, looking at the flip side, the biggest losers for December have got Sembcorp Industries at the top, down by 6.5%, SATS down by 3.8%, Singtel down by 3.3%, Mapletree Industrial Trust down by 1.7%, and Singapore Airlines lower by 1.3%. So if I just take a glance at the, I guess, themes here, we've got SATS and Singapore Airlines, the travel theme here not working out for them in the month of December. Is this a sector to stay away from for now?
I don't think so. I think the travel sector will gradually return. But I think in some cases, if you have a look at SATS, for instance, I mean, the share price hasn't done that badly in 2020. So therefore, some of the investors or some of the traders have decided to take some profit. And I think if you have a look at some of those industries that you mentioned, things like Sembcorp Industries, I mean, that has done reasonably well. People sort of gave it the thumbs up in 2020. The share price went up, so why not take some money off the table and put it in your pocket rather than leave it in the market for other people? So I think there was a bit of profit-taking going on, which is quite healthy. But as far as the travel sector is concerned, Singapore Airlines is a very specific one. They raised a lot of cash in 2020, and they announced recently that they have burned through a lot of that cash. So I think the market is a bit concerned that maybe they might have to come back and raise a bit more money again.
We've been chatting with David Kwo. He is the co-founder of the Smart Investor. David, thank you so much for your time as usual, and we will catch up with you next time.
Okay, thank you so much, Ryan, and Happy New Year to all of you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.